Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time to go blitzing all around the Beltway. 12 o'clock hour, we will be covering the Nationals as their World Series bound. Let's set the rotation, the bullpen, and figure out who's going to DH starting at 12:18. But right now, we kick off the blitz on the gridiron. We just talked to Jay Gruden for a lengthy chat here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Russell, I'm not sure if you heard it or not. What did you think? What would you take out of it?
It was a good job by you guys. Good get, obviously. Some interesting stuff. I think Jay is definitely biting his tongue a little bit. Doesn't want to say specific things. I mean, we all know some things that he wants to say, probably. And he's being smart and calculated in saying it. The one thing I would say is, yeah, fans are not going to be happy with this whole, mostly the reason why we stunk or didn't get the job done was because of injuries, but it is understandable. It is explainable. I think he's absolutely right about Dwayne Haskins. I can't figure out how people can't figure out that this thing takes a long time when you have a one-year starting quarterback, even at the Ohio State University. And the other thing that I laughed about, and I mentioned this on Twitter, my ears were kind of burning a little bit when Jay turned Club Jay.
That's
and,
right.
into Club Gruden, I think he kept referring to it.
That's right.
It's so good. Thank you. I was waiting for him to throw a bomb towards me, but I guess he'll just bite his tongue on that as well.
Well, I liked it. Grant was like, some around the league are saying, you need Chris Russell.
Did I say around the league?
You said some around the league have said, and I'm like, yeah, I think you know who it is, who some is.
No, but it's not like Chris Russell's the only guy who thinks Jay Gruden took it easy on the players. Yeah. I mean, when you asked him, before we even went to Club Jay, Danny said, what did people get wrong about you? And the first place he went was, I'm too easy on the players. Yeah. My operation's too lax. It clearly is something that irks him.
Yeah, but you know what? Like you said, I'm not the first one and only one to say that.
No,
I mean, you guys brought up DJ. You guys brought up DJ Swearinger, and he kind of chuckled about DJ Swearinger's antics and going to the media. But he's not the only one. There are people in the building still, Grant. You know this, right? That thought he was too lax and too loose, and the culture was too loosey goosey and happy free. So Jay can say whatever he wants. He can defend himself however he wants. He has every right. I'm not saying I never said that Jay was a bad head coach, that Jay was, way too easy. I just thought he was a little bit easier than he needed to be at times against with this team that could not self-motivate itself, especially after big wins and prosperous moments, which I understand were rare and few and far between.
Yeah, it's always tough for me to come down on a guy for being too easy or too difficult because, you know, Matt Williams was praised because he was a disciplinarian.
Right.
The next year he was inflexible.
No, you're right.
Davey Martinez was too loose on the guys, and now everybody praises him because he's everybody's
you're
buddy.
Right.
I mean, it's you know, it always helps if you're winning, and maybe it's chicken or the egg. But what did you make of his answers on Dwayne Haskins? I think Grant's on to something. I just think it's so telling that, by all indications, Jay wouldn't have done that because he's trying to win right now.
Right.
He knows he's got to win right now. And Dwayne Haskins is not a win-right-now guy.
Right.
Just didn't seem like that was a match made in heaven.
So I had been told before the season that Dan and Bruce had been okay with, signed off on whatever language you want to use, with Jay's plan to not have Dwayne Haskins play until very late in the season or at all if things went right with Case Keenum and Colt McCoy. Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't change or that they wouldn't have demanded change if things went really badly, which they did, which led to the firing of Jay Gruden. I don't think that's why Jay was fired. I think Jay was fired because they were 0-5 and because they weren't happy with some of the other things that he did and some of the leaks to the media and all that stuff that they thought he did. And again, 0-5 was the number one reason, and a train wreck, an epic train wreck. And the refusal probably to fire some of the guys that were his guys on the coaching staff. And I also also think, you know, look, they're big. They are big Bill Callahan fans in that building. Those two, the two ones
they
that
love
matter.
Some Bill
they,
Callahan.
They love Bill Callahan.
If Bruce is still here, I think there's a chance he could
yes,
be their head coach.
Absolutely. And oh, by the way, I don't know for sure. Just what I've heard, what I've been told by multiple people, Callahan and Gruden weren't exactly eye to eye either. So I'll just leave it at that, and everybody can figure out the rest. They weren't on the same page on a lot of things.
Well, I think we've seen that to some extent since he took over.
Yeah.
Some of the changes he made, and it's part of why I asked, you know, was he in your ear trying to make any of
yes.
those changes before?
But I think it was deeper, Grant. I don't know if you would agree. I think it was deeper than that on some issues.
One's super old school, one's fairly new school, so that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little baseball, shall we?
Sure.
Rainy old buddy, old pal.
Oh, hey,
is there any way that Max Scherzer doesn't start in game one for the Nationals?
Hard to see that he doesn't. I mean, you know, you have the rotation set up the way you want it to be set up. He pitched game one of the NLCS and he pitched game two of the NLCS, and then Strasburg obviously pitched game three. So you'd be right in line. I mean, of course, you don't have to start, even though he was dominant in game one on Anibal Sanchez. That allows you to have some flexibility. We all know about Corbin. I think you guys covered that earlier. To me, it's Scherzer, Strasburg, 1-2 at Houston, presuming that they are the matchup and they are looking like they're the matchup. And oh, by the way, as we've all talked about, that is a less favorable matchup for the Nationals. So I think you go your two big guns at Minute Maid Park against that lineup, against what is likely to be, their two top studs, Verlander and Gerrit Cole.
Who do you go in game three? The guy that's been a little bit hotter in two starts in Sanchez, or the one of your big horses in Patrick Corbin?
It's great. I mean, it's a great question. I'm going to go right now. I'll go Anibal Sanchez. I have a little bit more trust in him than I do Corbin. And that's hard to say because Corbin was so good for the first four-plus innings the other night. But he really wiggled himself out of, you know, a tough jam in the fifth. And I guess he's your I guess Davey's probably going to go Corbin. I would go Anibal Sanchez. I trust him. I just have a little bit more of a vibe trust in him than I do Corbin. And maybe I'm wrong on that.
You and Danny are together on that. I'm shocked by it. But, hey, I'm outruled right now on the Beltway Blitz. Let's talk a little bit of hockey, shall we?
Let's do that.
Braden Holtby has not been good. Ilya Samsonov has been better. Holtby's back in net for the Capitals against the Rangers tonight. Pretty big game in the Metro. Do we have a goaltender controversy brewing, or is it way too early for that?
Yeah, I mean, Todd Reirden addressed it. He said, we don't have one for now. But you know, a couple more bad starts, and you've got one. Maybe even a bad start tonight. Second night of a back-to-back for the Blue Shirts coming in at home. You know, if Holtby gives up 2-3 goals in the first period, how do you say you don't have one? You know, Samsonov, it's early to say Samsonov should be splitting time with Braden Holtby. But again, if Holtby has more performances like he did Monday in the first period where he gave up 3 goals in 8 minutes, or like he's had in some of these third periods, yeah, you're going to have one, and you're going to have one much earlier than anybody anticipated. I think the reason why they put Samsonov on the roster instead of Phoenix Copley is because they know realistically it's going to be really hard to pay Braden Holtby what the market is going to dictate next year as a free agent. I can't imagine how they are going to have the room to do something like that, especially when you consider what Bobrovsky and others have signed for in the recent months. So to me, I think this is a goaltending situation to very much watch on the radar of, and it's going to be much more of a 50-50 split if Holtby continues to struggle as badly as he has early on in this season than I think anybody anticipated.
Chiefs, did you notice that Rooster dropped 2-3 goals? Like, he gives up 2-3.
He likes a good 2-3 goal.
Hey, Russell, help me on this. I asked Tommy the same question on Crashing the Net the other night, and I want to know from you, give me your eyes. What do your eyes see? I can't figure out why this team. Is it just lack of rhythm? Is it just sort of the weird start to the season, et cetera? Why do they look like completely different teams from like the first period into the second period. That first period the other night, dreadful. And then all of a sudden, three goals in 78 seconds. They're moving the puck, carrying play. It's hard to figure out who's coming out of that locker room each period.
No, you're right. I think some of it is just early season lineup changes. Remember, they made they put Tom Wilson on the second line, so they mixed things up on the first and second lines. You've had different combinations on the fourth line. The defense, in my opinion, is the number one reason still why you have this flux from period to period, game to game. When the defense stinks like it did in the first period, and yes, they gave up a shorthanded goal, some of that was certainly on Alex Ovechkin, not covering backdoor, all of that stuff. But when your defense is in flux, and remember, they're just getting Kempney back tonight for the first time since mid-March of last year. He'll eventually pair with Carlson, but Jonas Siegenthaler has been with Carlson. Now he's banged up, so you might have Fevery back in the lineup if Siegenthaler can't go, and you still have Gudas, who's still kind of getting his footing under him, working with Nick Jensen. You know, so there's all this kind of upheaval, turnover, mixing and matching, getting used to each other, that communication. And then if Holtby is not Holtby, where he's been at most of his career, you're going to have this constant little upheaval from game to game. And as you correctly pointed out, Danny, period to period. And there was no better example of it than Wednesday, first period to second period. Absolutely.
Rainey, thank you, buddy. We appreciate your hard work on
Rooster
the Blitz.
Blitz.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Grant and Danny on the Fan next. Let's line the Nationals roster up for the World Series. We'll play Davey Martinez. You'll get your chance to do so as well. What's your pitching rotation? Who are you using and not using in the bullpen? And who's your designated hitter in the American League ballpark for the first two games of the series? You're locked into the Fan on a Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Grant and Danny on a Football Friday. We are presented, as always, by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. We'll take a good look around the NFL and get you the storylines from every game this weekend as we continue. Our beat reporter out in Ashburn, Craig Hoffman, is going to join us to talk Skins at 12:45, but we carved out some time here with the World Series now 4 days away to try to lay out the Nationals roster and rotation and just get prepared as best we can for Game 1 very likely in Houston against the Astros on Tuesday. And this convo and all the convos in this Red October on the Fan are presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVI.com today. So let's start with the rotation. I'll give you mine and kind of lay it out as best I can. Max Scherzer is my number one starter for a lot of reasons, but namely, he's the best pitcher on the staff over the last several years, and he's the guy I trust the most in a big spot. Now, if you look at the numbers in the playoffs this year, some people would say, oh, you got to go Strasburg. He's been hotter. He's been better. Max Scherzer's allowing a 134 average against. Steven Strasburg's allowing a 220 average.
Yeah, it's not as if Scherzer's been a slouch here. He's been nails.
I would make the case he's been better. Again, a 134 average against for Scherzer, a 220 average against for Strasburg. 27 strikeouts in 20 innings for Scherzer, 33 strikeouts for 22 innings for Stras, a couple of more there. But Max, in two fewer innings, has allowed half of the base hits that Steven Strasburg has. The only issue Scherzer had was that he gave up the two home runs in the first three innings against the Brewers. Since those two innings, if you start in the third inning of the wild card game and you go what would be the next 18 innings he's thrown, he's allowed one home run, and he has allowed one earned run, a solo shot. So to me, it's a no-brainer. Max Scherzer goes number one. Anybody who says Strasburg is playing into the end of the regular season narrative going into the wild card game and not updating their file on the fact that opponents hit 134 off Max so far through four outings and three appearances in the playoffs. Number two starter, Steven Strasburg, who has been masterful. He's got a 1.64 ERA. Like Max, he started three times. He's pitched out of the pen once, 22 innings. Still, not quite Max's level where he's given up a hit every two innings, but 18 hits in 22 innings is great. 220 average against, not quite on the 134 level of Max, but I'll take it. And he's striking out more batters than anybody in the rotation. And then, while Anibal Sanchez has been better than Patrick Corbin, he's allowed one run in 12 innings. Corbin has allowed, in his two starts, I think a total now of five earned runs. in
11 innings.
Is it 11?
In his two starts, yeah. Went six in game one against the Dodgers and five against the Cardinals.
And is it five total runs?
Yes.
Are those numbers
five
right?
runs, yeah.
So, Anibal Sanchez has pitched better. This is where I go with the power stuff over the artist that is Anibal. And it's not like I'm not using him. He pitches game four, and I'll feel good about it when he does. But Patrick Corbin has 26 strikeouts in 13 innings.
It's amazing.
And a 212 average against. I know he's given up some big hits, and it's going to be hard for people to unsee that bullpen appearance against the Dodgers. That's not Patrick Corbin. That's not what Patrick Corbin does. It's not how he's used. It just so happens he pitched well out of the pen after that in his two other appearances. But give me Corbin game three, Anibal game four. So I'm going Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, Sanchez in that order. And that is the order, of course, of the rotation all year long.
So I would have started Steven Strasburg in the wild card game. We had that discussion. I'm starting Max Scherzer in game number one of this World Series. He's Max again. He's maxing. He's doing the Max thing. Yes, please. Sign me up. Book it. Done deal. Stras starts game two. Sanchez is going to start game three for me. And I'm looking over the last couple months here for Corbin. And his start the other day against the Cardinals is indicative of what he's been. Lights out for about four innings. And then has kind of fallen off a cliff. There's a bad inning in there. Against the Dodgers, it was the first inning. Against the Cardinals, it was the fifth, where he just sort of loses command, tries to get too fine, whatever it is. He has not gone deep into a game since August. And Sanchez has been great. I'm going to ride that. And I don't think over 162 games, Sanchez would put up better numbers than Corbin. I'm not crazy. But I think right now, this minute, I think matching up against the Astros, who don't strike out, I don't think you can count on those things, them chasing pitches out of the zone, which is what Patrick Corbin lives and thrives on. I'm going to try to pitch to some weak contact and see if I can get away with it, like Tanaka did for the Yankees in game one against the Astros. Didn't work, obviously, last night. But that's how I'm going. I'm going to line up Sanchez for game two. Corbin can be a weapon. I know people are going to scoff at this. I think he can be a weapon out of the bullpen. He wasn't in that Dodgers game, and that's what people are going to say. You're stupid for saying that. I look at the other two appearances. Inning and a third against the Dodgers, we struck out three, and that getting Colton Wong in a spot. You can use him in game one and two if you want for a batter or for a couple innings as a lefty specialist.
I think you could still do that in game one potentially for a batter.
And still
two,
do game three?
And start him in game three.
That's a good point.
The guy didn't make $140 million on accident. There's a reason why he is considered to be one of the 10 best pitchers in the National League, and I think he finished third in WAR. Top five in WAR if he went down a little bit at the end of the year. And you're going to have to scroll a few pages for Sanchez. Now,
so they're going to do what you're saying, by the way. I would bet the house that they're starting Patrick Corbin.
But look, to your point, I want to give you credit. I understand what you're doing, too. You are going with recency and basically saying, I woke up from living under a log 10 days ago, and here's what I have to do now. And I think people do that in the playoffs sometimes, and it works sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, who's throwing better right now? Anibal Sanchez is probably throwing better right now in the sense that he hasn't had the big inning. I just go based on stuff and what is likeliest to happen. And I think what is likeliest to happen, who do the Astros want to face? In talking to a bunch of the Cardinals before game four, they talked about Patrick Corbin like they were about to face some Cy Young candidate. They said, yeah, man, his slider is the... Two guys on the Cardinals basically said it's the best pitch we're going to face in this series, that slider. The Astros would much rather face Anibal Sanchez. That's all I need to know. It's a more comfortable at-bat. Now, did he have an amazing start? Yes. Has he had two really good starts? He clearly has. There's no denying that. But I just got to go with the dudes that are the best right now. By those standards, like you would take a hitter who's like four for his last seven and put him in the lineup over a guy all year long who's been better because they're two for their last 19. And that's just not how I operate. I shouldn't say that because Corbin's not two for his last 19.
No, he's not. Hadn't
Corbin's
been bad.
Actually two for his last seven or three for his last seven
right.
instead of four for his last seven. He's been really, really good as a starter in the playoffs minus essentially one inning. And, of course, he walked a bunch of guys in the first inning of the division series. But one earned run in that start in
outside
six
Outside of
innings.
Those two innings – of his 11 in his starts, it's been incredible. He's been absolutely incredible. My worry is that inning. He's had
Understood.
That. He had that against Cleveland. He had that down the stretch. That's why he hadn't gone deep into games. And against the Astros, your margin for error is razor thin. I don't feel good about either of those guys, by the way.
I feel good about Corbin.
I don't. I think this is what we're getting. I think it's going to be some gaudy numbers,
yeah,
and a meltdown inning that's going to cost them the game.
I will take the start he had against the Cardinals. He struck out. He was the first pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to strike out 10 batters in four innings.
In four innings, he was
untouchable.
Amazing.
If you want to have a fifth inning where you give up a few runs and we act like the world's over, fine. You're going to have to score four or five runs in a baseball game to win. If you get four innings where an offense can't get on base, you should already ideally have a lead at that point.
You should feel good.
So, yeah, I'll take that every time. What do you guys think about the rotation? And we can get into the bullpen next, Danny. We'll get into who should DH as well. It sounds like we're pretty similar. So your one is?
Is Scherzer.
You are going Max over
Strasburg. Strasburg, too. Yep.
And then you're going Anibal over Corbin. So we're just flip-flopping those two guys. 800-636-1067. We'll get to your calls next on G&D.
These are fun conversations to have, talking about the Washington Nationals in the World Series, and they are in the World Series. For the first time in franchise history, Louisville Slugger's been making bats since 1884. BigTimeBats.com is releasing this Nationals World Series two-tone bat. Full-size bat has the team colors with a red barrel, and blue handle, and has the World Series and Nationals Curly W logos with the NL Champions logo laser-engraved on the bat. The full-size bat is limited to 5,000 individually numbered bats and sells for $129.95 plus shipping. Also available is the World Series team signature bat with the facsimile signatures of the players and the World Series and NL Championship logos. Both bats can be purchased in a stunning two-bat set. Here's what you do. Go to BigTimeBats.com now to order or call 866-280-BATS. That's 866-280-BATS for this historic Nationals first playoff series win bat. Trademarks and logos use permission.
Seems like the Nats bullpen has come a little clearer into focus. Daniel Hudson is the most traditional closer they'll have. Sean Doolittle will get huge high leverage outs and could even close games, but he's going to get situations against lefties whenever they'll present themselves. The Astros' best bats almost down the line are right-handed, although he's going to get a whole lot of Yordan Alvarez.
Those two are going to match up plenty.
Whenever that's the eighth, the ninth inning that he's coming up, I would imagine. Tanner Rainey's become the third guy, and to Tanner Rainey's credit in these playoffs, he has been very successful to this point. Rainey has pitched five times, and in four innings has given up just two hits, and he struck out four batters. Maybe the biggest stat for Tanner Rainey is that while getting 12 outs, he's only walked one.
That's the one right there. If that number stays low, he's effective.
He's hard to hit,
yes.
Right? I mean, the bottom line is you're just not going to move the line with a bunch of base hits off that guy. You're going to have weak contact. He gave up a couple of runs in a game on a bloop shot, and then I think it was the walk. And those two inherited runners came around on Hunter Strickland home runs, and Wander Suero came in and couldn't get a big out. But I would think Fernando Rodney would be next in line. Rodney has pitched three times. He's pitched 2 2/3 innings, and he's walked three and had two hits. I mean, he's constantly had base runners, but he does have five strikeouts.
So many pitching back from 3-0 counts. So many just, oh, my gods.
My trust in Rainey is way higher than Rodney right now.
100%. It's not close.
And frankly, it has been since the first day Rainey showed up. I've never trusted Rodney as far as I could throw him, and every time he pitches, I expect the worst. Dan Hudson has pitched six times in the playoffs, has not allowed a run. 5 2/3 innings, a lot of contact, five strikeouts, 190 average against, and Doolittle's been amazing. 7 1/3 innings of 6K, no walk ball for Doo, a 154 average against. He's back to his old self.
Remember the run and hit he gave up? Should have been an out to Michael Taylor that he misjudged.
It's a great point. Yeah. That was he's given up two runs, and that inning was kind of his worst, and that was just a 1-2-3 inning, really, by the way of how he threw it. So our rotations that we designed are similar. I'm going Scherzer 1, Strasburg 2, Corbin 3, Sanchez 4. Danny's got a flip-flopped game 3 and game 4. He's got Max in game 1 and Stras in game 2. But he's got Corbin going game 4 after Anibal Sanchez. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Grant. I have a real hipster take on this, so I apologize in advance. But I'm looking at this situation, and Minute Maid Park is one of the highest home run factor parks in baseball. So is Nationals Park. But there's one key fundamental difference between those two. One's an indoor stadium, the other is not. So Max, his Achilles heel all year in postseason has been the home run ball. I think why not take advantage of the cooler temperatures in D.C. and make him your game 3 starter And that way you eliminate, or not eliminate, but you reduce the chance of the home run ball hurting Max significantly, because the ball's not going to travel as far in the cool temperatures in D.C. compared to a climate-controlled environment in Houston. I know that's a real wacky way of looking at it, but I think, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And I would say, why not optimize your starting rotation for their strengths?
Yeah, so thanks, look, Chris. All the information's correct, right? Everything you said logically makes sense. You said, why not do it? And the answer is because then you'd be throwing Anibal Sanchez over Max Scherzer. And then you'd be throwing, to a lesser extent, it's not as big of a deal, but Steven Strasburg over Max Scherzer, who was, in fact, better on the road this year, a 2.6 ERA, than he was at home, a 3.1. Who in the playoffs so far, cumulative postseason numbers for Max Scherzer right now, has been 8 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 14 strikeouts away from Nationals Park, a perfect ERA. That's why, to be honest with you. Now, could he give up a home run against the Astros? Of course. They hit more home runs than anyone. That ballpark has home run written all over it. He's going to have to go out there and shove. But you don't get to the World Series riding your starting pitching and then take a guy who would have won the Cy Young if he was healthy, who, by the way, has been dominant.
He's been lights out.
Since the first 2 innings of the playoffs, over his last 18 innings, and say, you wait a couple of games. We might be down 2-0, but you're going to pitch game 3.
Well,
no,
the,
thank you.
The summary for me would be that he might only pitch once in the series if I do that. Right? Could you imagine going down and say, well, we saved Max for some sort of special game 3.
For fear that he might, like, that's what you're worried about? All the things the Nationals are combating with 7 days off, you're worried about rested Max Scherzer's home run? Again, he might give up a couple.
Yeah, I'm worried about him giving up a home run, too. I'm worried about all of them giving up home runs, frankly, the Astros, because they're great.
If I'm listing 100 things, that's not near the top of the list.
It's not going to prevent me from starting him in Minute Maid.
Let's go to Jason in Woodbridge on the Fan. Hey, Jason.
Okay, you guys are going to hate every answer I say, but let me finish, please.
That depends on how insane it is, but we'll do our best.
Go for it.
Okay, well, I'm going to start Strasburg, number one, because he's been lights out in the postseason. Then I'm going Anibal, our Rodney Dangerfield, no respect given, Sanchez, number two. And then I'm bringing Max, big dog Max, make the home crowd go nuts in game 3. Then I'm coming back to Strasburg in game 4. Then I'm going, I don't know, Corbin game 5. And then I'm coming back with Max, hopefully not in game 6, because we've already dominated him. And then game 7, whoever.
So you're going short rest for Strasburg as part of your plan.
I don't even think Max would be available the second time that you just mentioned him based on rest. He's going 3 days Strasburg. Essentially, Corbin is no longer in the rotation, according to him. So a couple of things. Number one, we need to stop acting like Patrick Corbin's been terrible immediately. I don't know why everyone's doing this. He had 10 strikeouts through 4 innings, and the Cardinals couldn't touch him through the order of a time and a half the other night. We need to remember that. I'm sorry that he had an inning where he gave up a few runs. I know that didn't happen the entire National League Championship Series for any other pitcher. The second thing would be, we've taken 2 calls and 2 people have said, Max Scherzer should pitch in game 3. I want to jump out the window immediately. I want you to take a sledgehammer to that window, and I want to jump out of it and land on the ground. And wake me up when the series is over out of my coma and let me know what happened. Let's go to Tom in Manassas. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Max pitches game 1.
Thank
I just
you.
Want to get that out first.
Thank
first
you.
And foremost. Second, Davey's been pushing all the right buttons, so whichever way this goes, I feel super confident about that. I'm on Team Danny here. I would throw Anibal in game 3, and I'm not disrespecting Corbin. He was legendary those first 4 or 5 innings. I think he just ran out of adrenaline, understandable. I just think Anibal will give the edge because he's got a little bit more experience.
That's all reasonable.
And my last thing, yeah, it's cool. We're actually talking about the rotation going into the World Series.
It's pretty neat, right?
Still sinking in.
No doubt, man. No doubt. No, the Anibal Corbin thing, like that to me, you could, there's 2 camps there that you could go to live in either campsite, and it makes perfect sense. That's not Max in game 3. Jump out of the window anger. That's a different thing. Let's go to Ben in Waldorf. Hey, Matt, Ben, how are
What's
you?
What's up, Ben?
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on. Absolutely love listening to you guys.
Thank you.
Normally, we're of the like-minded kind of mindset. But let me say this. I like burning Sanchez in Houston or wherever we play. And the reason being, I don't want to see him at bats from him when we come back to the National League at home. But I am scared that, you know, whoever his place he's taking isn't going to get that rest if we need him in 6 and 7. Not having rest for starting pitchers is a good problem to have if that's your biggest concern. I'm not counting Corbin out, but I am saying I think Sanchez should get the start in Houston, game one or game two.
And
I know you guys don't like it.
Hold on, Ben.
The first caller, your logic is that you don't
want to see him bat at Nationals Park?
That's right. I'd rather see Strauss in the box or Scherzer in the box, then you let the DH take care of Sanchez in the American League. And then the compound on that, I like the guy talking about the cold weather and things like that. I'm sure we're overthinking it, and it's a non-conventional approach.
I don't think you're overthinking it at all. I think it's perfectly reasonable to start Anibal Sanchez in game one of the World Series over Max Scherzer for fear that Anibal Sanchez won't have the same quality of at bat as Max Scherzer. I don't think you're overthinking it at all. I think you're all over it.
That's, again, if we're making a list, A, that doesn't make it. But B, if it did, it would be a trillionth behind like what they ate for breakfast and toenails.
Do me a favor.
Nothing.
Remind me we're in the World Series.
The Nationals are in the World Series.
And remind me that we're talking about lining up pitching because they swept.
We are talking about.
Because your boy is fuming right now.
We're talking about lining up pitching because the Nationals swept their way into the World Series. They're in the World Series. It starts Tuesday.
I mean, I want to scream.
Don't. We're fine. It's all fine. Let's talk about who DH is. Let's talk about some of your lineup questions. Let's do some of that.
We haven't taken a call yet.
Do some of that.
Who wants the first two games to include Scherzer and Strasburg? What are we doing here? What is the point of this?
Let's talk DH. Who's your second baseman? Huh?
Let's talk about some of that stuff.
Huh?
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. The Nationals are in the World Series, and we're talking about the playoff rotation on October 18th for a series that hasn't started yet. Everything's fine.
It's good.
We're happy. The Nationals, Red October's on the Fan, presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick in Maryland or online at PVIPVI.com today. We push Craig Hoffman back to one, so the big one will be a preview of the Skins and the 49ers for you. At the top of the hour on a Football Friday, as always, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. So here's the question. Pitching rotation for the Nationals should be what? We'll then get into the bullpen in a minute and who should DH as well. So far, everyone wants Max Scherzer to go in Game 3. I don't understand why. There have been a lot of explanations. Some of them are even backed with information that is relevant, like the chance of hitting a home run on a frigid night at Nats Park
as opposed to indoor
against Houston, despite the fact that Scherzer's better on the road and has been untouchable on the road in these playoffs. But here we are. Well, it's your rotation, not ours. We're just trying to help lead you through as chaperones some of the pitfalls here. Let's go to Ben in Rockville. Hey, Ben, how are you?
Hey, boss. Hey, G&D. Interesting topic, but I got to tell you guys, I actually disagree with this call because as a present, you have no idea who you're facing. Myself, I'm actually leaning toward Houston, but I'm a Yankees fan, so I wanted to see Yankees versus Nationals. That way, whoever wins, I'd be happy. As far as this goes, the topic is really hard to answer. I would wait and see until whoever wins a series to see what your lineup should be, because it's just, it's really tough. I mean,
but Ben, you don't change.
They win.
Why would you change based on the team? You didn't play the Astros this year. Your sample size against those teams as they're currently constructed is zero. You play the Yankees maybe a series or two a year. If there is any at-bats against these lineups, it's not these guys that are in there now. Like, to me, who they play is almost irrelevant in terms of who you would throw when. Why does that matter?
Because you have to look at Nationals and the Nationals in Houston. Basically, you're talking about the best pitching matchup in baseball. Whereas also the Houston, they've also got some incredible bats. I mean, Berman, for God's sakes, the guy scares me. So you have to look at it that way.
All right, appreciate the call.
Thanks, buddy. But I don't know how that influences who you'd start when,
yeah,
right?
And that's what I asked him. He didn't really answer. I don't know why who you're playing would influence who's it. Your rotation's about you. So it's crazy it is to say Anibal Sanchez should start game one because he didn't give up a hit until the eighth inning. At least that's logic about your team. The Astros, the Yankees, if somehow those two teams both don't get to play because something happened and they found out that they were cheating and suddenly they said the Royals got to play. It literally doesn't matter who you're playing. You line up your pitching based on who gives you the best chance in each of those games. Let's go to Craig in Greenbelt. What's up, Craig?
Yeah, hi. How are you guys doing?
Come in.
I think you guys are great. But I think the rotation should be the same as it was in the NCLS. Sanchez, then Max. Then you put Strasburg in on the first game back here. And then Colbert. And then Sanchez if you need five. And then you have Serger. And then you have Strasburg for game six and seven.
But then you realize you had to do that because of who pitched in the games before. That's not how they ideally would have set it up. They would not have put Sanchez in game one had they not had to do what they did in the wild card
game. And then you'd have two games before you go to Strasburg, who statistically is one of the best playoff pitchers ever.
Well, that's true. So that's my opinion, though.
All right. Thank you for your opinion. Let's go to... By the way, nobody wants Scherzer and Strasburg throwing the first two games.
Can we please want that as a fan base?
Somebody tell me that the two guys that are the Cy Young arms in this rotation should pitch in the first two games of the World Series. Please. Somebody. Steve in Gaithersburg. Hello.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with these guys. Why wouldn't you want your two best pitchers pitching as soon as possible, as many games as possible? So, I mean, we all know that the team is going to go with Grant's proposal. But for me, I'd go Strasburg 1, Scherzer 2, because, I mean, Strasburg has been pretty, really good since the Milwaukee game, but Strasburg has been even better. And throughout their careers in the playoffs, Strasburg has been the better guy and their best pitcher all year. And number 3, I'd go Sanchez, and then 4, Corbin. For me, Sanchez... like again, my argument, like Corbin has been pretty good and Sanchez has been really, really good, like Strasburg. And over their careers, again, in the playoffs, Sanchez has been good. And, I mean, I think they were pretty equal in the second half of the year since Sanchez came back from his injury. They've been pretty equal. They've both been good. So that's what I go with. Thanks.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, pal. Good phone call. Who's been better in the playoffs, Scherzer or Strasburg?
Scherzer.
Max Scherzer's been better in the playoffs than Steven Strasburg, and he's Max Scherzer. Why are we overthinking this? JP in Wheaton. Hey, JP.
Hey, GD. Happy Red October.
Hey, buddy.
Same to you, buddy.
Hey, guys, this is a no-brainer, as you agree. It's got to be Strasburg and Scherzer. You need to come out of Houston or New York with a split, take home field series away from them. I just want to throw something out there for consideration. I don't know if you guys have gone over this yet over the past week, but think about this. The Astros and Yankees got to play the Tigers and Orioles 19 times, respectively. I think you got to think we're the favorite. I want to see what you guys think about that. I just feel it with these guys. I think we got it. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it is awesome to be talking about this.
It is fun. My counter is the Nationals got to play the Marlins.
Yeah, I was going
to
say that.
So everybody's got a layup. Everybody can stand next to a barrel full of fish and tell you what's in it. The Astros are great. I mean, every metric that tells you about baseball supports that claim.
They're better.
The Yankees are really, really good, too. Now, the beautiful part about this is they still have to play the Nationals. Nobody's writing it down on paper and doing anonymous ballot. They still got to go through some pretty good pieces 4 times in order to get this thing. The Astros are going to be favored. I think the Astros are winning this thing. I think they close it out tonight. You're going to have to beat Gerrit Cole, which hasn't been done since May. Nobody's done it. Someone maybe will. It hasn't happened since May this year. Gerrit Cole's incredible. To win a World Series, you probably have to beat him once. I don't know how you do that.
Maybe twice.
Yeah, maybe twice, honestly. But then if you don't beat him, okay, then you figure out you got to beat Zach Greinke, who has torn the Nationals
up. But he's going to be going in 7 or whatever.
Yeah,
in 6,
and then
perhaps.
You got to figure out how to beat Verlander, who might still win the Cy Young over Gerrit Cole. I don't know how you do it. And their lineup's incredible. This is a really tough task. But you know what? Houston should be saying the same thing because the Nats are a tough test, too.
I hope they split those first two and we get at least the 3 here and you got yourself a series. Houston is the best team in baseball and has been all year. They'll be the heavy favorites. I think the Yankees are a good bit better than the Nationals, but the Nats are on such a roll now that it has really closed the gap and kind of canceled it out. And I don't know that it matters that much because the Yankees aren't coming back and beating the Astros at this point. But it would be... Either way, I give the Nats a lot of credit that they're going to fight in this series because they've impressed all year long. I would feel a lot better, though, if not for this 7-day layoff. The 7-day layoff makes it a little bit more difficult in terms of the caller asking, you know, about being a favorite. You're not going to be a favorite, and in fact, you'll be more of a dog because you've been sitting around for a week. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll kick off the 1 o'clock hour with our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman on their matchup with Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers Sunday next.
Spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.